cliffcentral.com.
Tootsie Slide. It's something from Drake, actually. Green Bull as well in there. So lots to talk about this morning. Cliffcentral.com. 079-748-2090. Bunch of messages coming in. Good morning,
you remembered.
Team. What's that?
You remembered the number.
Yes, I remembered the number. Temba saying, good morning, team. I mentioned Cliff Central in an interview I did. I hope you enjoy it. In fact, Temba was interviewed in this very professional-looking, what is this? The Olifant News. Nice one, dude. He's a student.
Oh, I thought maybe he was at a job interview and mentioned us.
No. This is amazing. It's like an interview in a newspaper. And he says, Temba, let me just read this because he's, you know, Temba's been a listener of ours from the get-go, so... time we reflect some glory back at him. He's a student of life who is deeply driven by philosophy. The Tembisa-born chap is fascinated by perennial wisdom of how to live and die, human nature and power. Sounds like you would get along with him, Bulelo.
Man after my own heart.
Yeah. Although I think he sometimes has argued with you during the course of some of the shows. Anyway, he talks about his life in this interview. Very nice interview. And then he says, living in lockdown has been eye-opening for him. I now have more time to focus on the things that matter to me, such as writing for my blog, reading and connecting with family and friends, he explains. When he's not writing or reading, he's listening to Gareth Cliff's podcasts.
Ah. Yes. Hello.
Thanks for the mention. Always appreciative of that. So this Temba put us in an interview he did. Hey, guys, listening for the first time live. I love it. My mom had a handwritten book of the entire history back to Roman Empire, including photographs, or photos of paintings of family members. I got to cut my wedding cake with a family bayonet. That's from Inga. Good Lord.
Oh, wow.
That's going back a long time, Inga. That's some nice stuff. Yeah, I suppose, you know, people like that.
It's really impressive.
That history stuff. Iran has issued an arrest warrant for Donald Trump. Let's not even dwell on that for more than a minute. Petrol prices are going up tonight. Do the adult thing and fill up your tank or sell your car, whichever your cash flow allows. Some useful information there from Tato.
Tato, that's an option. Just sell your car.
Just sell it, yeah.
Be done with it.
Yes. Very good stuff. So, Sia, let's
Gareth,
talk about this.
I do have to quickly add, that was a nice song. I enjoyed it, but doesn't make you just a tiny bit sad?
Why?
To hear a club song, a party song like that, and you go, right.
Yeah. You make your own party in your head. We have to do this now.
I was chatting to a friend a couple of days ago, and we are considering at least getting like 2/3 of the way to a party. We have pre-drinks at home. We listen to some music here. We get dressed, and we just jump into an Uber and drive around the block.
Okay, so that's halfway to a party.
It's like, you know, you feel like you're doing something, and then the Uber drops you back off, and you're done.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like fun at all, Sia.
Very sad.
All right, so tell me about this Lou Pearlman, because honestly, I know the name, but I never really paid attention. I remember the Backstreet Boys and NSYNC.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were huge when I was young.
Yeah, it's Lou Pearlman is just another name you have to add on the list of crazy and twisted people. Pre-creating the Backstreet Boys and NSYNC, he had some other con ways that I'll get into. But first, his implosion started after he had created NSYNC, and they were successful for 3 years. Mm-hmm. And it was in the late 90s that he gave NSYNC their first check. And they were all very shocked for 3 years of work. And this is tours and millions of albums sold. And like, remember back in those days, people were buying CDs.
Yeah,
and
of course.
Quite a couple of CDs, yeah. Not just streaming one song. So right. You see that and you see merchandise and you understand just roughly how much money should be made. And they all got $10,000 each.
That's it. That's all they got.
And in 3 years, they did the calculations. That's like not just minimum wage. So they're like, no, what is going on here?
what a creep. He was ripping them off.
Yeah, they were like, basically, if we were waiters, we would have earned this amount in 3 years. So they get their own individual lawyers involved. They figure out that the contract that they signed listed Lou Pearlman, the creator of the band, as a sixth member of the band, and that he owned the name NSYNC, and he owned the name Backstreet Boys, and he was the one who was rightfully owed and getting all of this money.
Son of a bitch.
This seedy, slimy guy. And the reason why he started just working on this formula of creating all of these pop bands was he saw what was happening with Disney, and he saw that success, and he thought, okay, wait a minute, I can just add five random people, put them together, sell some sort of cute or sex factor, and Bob's your uncle, we have a business here. And he thought, there's no such thing as competition in this space, because what for every Coca-Cola, there'll have to be a Pepsi. So I might as well own Coca-Cola and Pepsi. That's why he had like boy bands and he was going at it. But then this documentary that I watched started digging into his past, and it was fascinating to see how he got his start. He grew up in a time where aviation was just getting started and aviation was all the craze. So do you remember old school blimps?
Yeah.
Those big, just yes. balloony blimps. Yeah. Sure. So he went to a company, said, you know, look, if you put your branding on a blimp, I'll make sure that your blimp goes up in the air. And this company was all excited. It was a jeans business back in the day. And then he thought, no, actually, you know, paint it in gold. That will show how fabulous you are as a company. They sort of got into it. Lo and behold, he insured the blimp for $3 million.
Yeah.
But what he didn't was that he had bought an old blimp that just after taking off crashed, and insurance paid out with $3 million. So that started the
snowball. It's the Hindenburg of advertising.
All of it. Just a disaster.
This guy's a mess.
So that's how he started things.
That was the beginning of his career.
Yeah, then he started his own airline after this blimp business didn't work. He literally bought a model plane.
Yeah.
And he took a photo of this model plane on the horizon, and he just so casually happened to cut out him holding onto the model plane. So all you saw was the nose of the plane in the air, and that's how that was a poster for his airline company, and people would invest.
Okay, so basically a ruthless self-marketer.
But
in some way you kind of have to respect that, because he's a hustler. Right? We would call him a hustler by today's standards.
But you would call him a hustler if there was something there. I mean, he was making people invest in a plane that he didn't even end up buying.
See, I don't know. Hey, hustlers, sometimes they're not the most honest people. And this Lou Pearlman sounds like a straight up hustler.
Yeah, so he then did the whole Backstreet Boys and NSYNC thing, made tons and tons of money. He ended up being taken to court by NSYNC and Backstreet Boys so that they get ownership and rights handed over to them. And it was funny now that I think back at it, NSYNC released Bye Bye Bye. And if you vaguely grew up in those times, you remember the music video and all of the boys were dancing with like strings attached to them.
Yes.
And so that was the first song that they released after Lou Pearlman, almost like we're done with being your puppets.
So it was bye to you. Bye to Lou Pearlman.
Yeah, doesn't it? It just turns things around a bit. Yeah, I think you can think he's very shrewd and cunning. And
he was a creep as well. He had like cameras all over his house, and he would have the boys there and then he'd film them.
He had cameras all over the place, including like the tanning bed. And my takeaway from learning about him is he was very sad. He was a big chubby kid, unpopular growing up, and now was his time to be cool. Right. So he'd host all of these massive parties and he'd want to be noticed. And I would even go as far as saying it wasn't his intention to be a seedy sexual weird person. But I think he wanted to do that to be cool in other people's eyes. So he would also film young girls when they would come into his house, allegedly, and he would send it to the boys in sync, like, hey, look at, you know, so-and-so got naked near my pool. Check this out. Almost like, yeah, it's just weird. But the final straw was when he created a new investment. Yeah, a new investment firm. And then he was playing with people's like retirement money and savings, even though there was nothing at all. And he was just saving that money for himself. And that's when the law came to the party and they did an investigation on him. He fled the US, went to Bali. He was discovered there. And up until he was jailed and he died in prison.
What a loser. And this was the guy who started the Backstreet Boys and NSYNC.
Yeah, I listened to that. After discovering Lou Pearlman, I listened back to some of the music, and I can't listen to it the same way now.
No. And now that you've told me the whole story, because I honestly didn't know all of this. I mean, I knew there was a guy called Lou Pearlman, and he was quite a big deal.
If you are interested in it, there's the documentary also up on YouTube. It's called The Boy Band Con. The Lou Pearlman story.
Is this where you, heard guy. About it?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Huh. Weird
What
guy.
A monster. So if you do like that kind of thing, Enron...
No, we aren't watching Garth Brooks.
You your Garth Brooks suggestion the other day.
Oh my God, Garth Brooks.
I got a bunch of messages from people on our WhatsApp line saying, like, please do not let Bulelo suggest any more TV series to us.
Okay, last one. If this is terrible, then people can take me out to pasture. Enron, smartest guys in the room, is the biggest con in American history. I mean, this guy called Jeff Skilling was given, I mean, he was with Bush and all of them being given American of the Year awards.
Yes.
Oh.
In front, he had American politics with company didn't exist. So, Enron, smartest guys in the room. Jeff Skilling.
All right, that is actually a good series. I think I've watched it. Good documentary.
Yeah.
I think I have seen that. Oh. That's really good. So, I will stand up for your reputation here. I'm not going to let people ride roughshod over you in this respect.
He's redeemed himself.
Yeah, you've done okay on this one, Bulelo.
Thanks for creating a safe space.
Yes, I thought safe space is what you needed at the moment.
Sure.
You've been pilloried for far too long.
True. I just have nowhere to exercise my agency.
Lou Pearlman. Jesus.
What a monster.
Oh, my God. What kind of... I mean, listen, people are weird, huh? They are just... And the funny thing is, like, I was talking to someone the other day. His brother's girlfriend started dating his older brother.
Wait. His brother's girlfriend started dating...
So he has two brothers. And the brother's girlfriend started dating the older brother.
Oh.
And that was fine in that family. And I was like, what? I couldn't.
So wait, slimy. Are they dating both?
She was dating the younger brother. Now she's dating the older brother. And he's already married with children, the older brother. Now, I listen to this story. I'm like, I cannot believe there are people in the world who do this kind of thing.
Wait a minute, Gareth. Is this polyamory? So is he married and she's the side piece? What are you saying?
Yeah, he's married and then his younger brother's girlfriend is now his side piece.
Oh, okay. And everybody knows?
Yeah.
Oh, well, then that's fine.
It's not fine.
As the younger brother, it is one thing to be betrayed by a girlfriend, or perhaps they might have had a civil breakup. Sure, okay, cool. I would feel so betrayed by my older brother.
Me too.
That goes against the bro code of not even bro as in friend, literally my brother.
You do not cross
that line.
Right.
So I agree with you in that sense. But my thing is, it's happening. Like, you're saying it like this should be a shock.
Dating your ex.
I am shocked by this. I did not know that people would do this kind of thing. I know that makes me sound really naive and stupid.
Wow.
Honestly, I had no idea this kind of thing went on.
And I agree with you.
It's not someone I know well. It's not like a very close friend, but the story came out and I was gobsmacked. I didn't know this kind of shit happened.
Listen, it affronts all of my sensitivities.
Yeah.
But I know too many stories where that would be the base level.
Yeah, people do this shit.
It's wild.
Mm.
It's like people love drama.
They do love drama. And they, I mean, your own, can you imagine all the all the leftover conversations that you did? Oh, please, with your brother? Oy, oy, oy.
There's so many people on this planet. Date anybody.
Yeah.
There's so many people who are great.
I would actually single. More my brother.
Now let's just talk about being single and going your own way, because you're not going to be on this show every day from now on. You want to explain yourself, because there are actually people who love listening to you, Mbulelo, and now they think they're going to miss out on you forever. So go ahead and explain yourself. I'm not going to do your work for you.
Thank you. So that safe space you'd created
is finished.
Has not been dashed.
It's run out. Here we go. No. Get along with it.
So I'll be moving to strictly Cliff Central Sport. I'm not leaving per se.
Uh-huh.
I'm just, you know, we're growing. The family is growing.
Correct.
So Cliff Central Sport, that'll be on YouTube. If you haven't subscribed,
right,
come and join us. But I'm going nowhere, and I will be on the show as it moves forward on Thursdays.
Yes.
But we are looking to grow and service more of our listeners, loyal listeners over the last 6 years, our sports fans. Come and join us as we change the sporting content landscape in Africa.
Very nice. I'm excited for you, because I know how much work you're putting in behind the scenes to the sports show, and I'm absolutely sure it's going to be a massive success. It's already growing nicely, which is great. And I think we've got lots to be excited about here.
We really do. And just a teaser for tonight, Flip van der Merwe, former Springbok and Bulls lock, is our guest.
Very good.
On Friday, make a note. We just confirmed.
Wait a minute. Okay, let me get my pen. So, yes.
Just so people know, we are live daily, 7:30 to 8:30 on YouTube, right? Uh-huh. And it will be podcast as well. We had a great interview with Keegan Daniel yesterday. Wow, yes. He was so honest. But Friday, make a note, 7:30. The gentleman who was Diego Maradona's agent, very first agent, before the mafia took over Maradona's career.
He must have stories.
He'll be joining us. Oh, my God. Like you won't believe. And then he was also involved in starting the English Premier League. He was also involved in bringing sports advertising to sport.
No,
it didn't exist before him. He invented the term Team England. He looked after the English cricket team for 10 years. So John Smith, look out for it. Friday is going to be blockbuster. He's in the UK. We'll have him on. He has incredible stories.
That sounds amazing. All right.
Yeah, so I cannot wait.
Lots of reasons to get on Mbulelo's train here, because he's taking it in interesting directions.
Yeah, it's also just a very impressive show. I was watching last week and I sent you a very random text, but I was like, wow, you have like ad breaks and like transitions and very slick production.
In other words, Sia's somehow surprised that you're a professional.
And look, I want everybody, it's a great statement, and it's fair. It's fair to be shocked. But we aren't just doing, with all due respect to everybody else, we're not just doing Zoom calls with people.
Hmm.
We're using extremely powerful software, just as you'd see on Supersport, on Sky Sports. We're using the same visual mixing software to give you a world-class product. We're not just putting Zoom calls up with a backdrop. We are, you know, we've been working, and the support has been unbelievable internally, from Gareth and Rena to service guys that have been loyal for 6 years, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we know there's been a gap with sport, so we wanted to fill that gap and give people something exciting to watch and to listen to. So.
Exactly. So my hashtag for now, sport the Cliff Central way. Okay. I'm not leaving. We're just growing.
Very good.
Mm. Well, I also have to take this time to announce, straight after Mbulelo's show this Friday, I think you'll want to watch my new sports show as well.
You've got a sports show.
Yeah. Yes, it's called Cheerio. We focus on the art and technique of cheerleading. After, you know, that impressive John Smith guest, you definitely want to listen to our discussion as we debate how much skin is too much skin, as we battle midriff area. You know, the cheerleading association says no more than 4 centimeters.
Mbulelo, I think he's mocking you.
You know what? George Bush was a cheerleader, so why not?
George W. Bush.
George W., yeah. Yes, yes. So, Sia, why not? And you know what? I'll take that. I'll take Cheerio. Abuse and mockery. Cheerio.
Well, another thing I want to tell you about in a little while is we're expanding at Cliff Central too. We are going to start offering a whole lot more, not just to our listeners, but also to our clients. And I'll tell you about that in a short while. We're going to be joined by our new partner in the new side of the business. We're expanding. And I'll tell you about that in a second or two as well, because you need to know all of these things are happening at Cliff Central. We have used lockdown to get shit done. We've not been sitting on our hands the whole way through lockdown. So I'm very excited. I'm excited to announce a couple of big things during the course of the next few days. And Tim Cully will be joining us shortly to talk about how he's involved. All right.
By the way, we didn't get to discussing this, but yesterday there was an announcement about more airports starting to open in the country. And even though the Department of Transport had to further announce, no, we aren't doing any recreational travel just yet.
Yeah, you still have to say that you're traveling for business. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
I have yet to exactly hear what the process is once you get
just
there.
Just say you're traveling for business. How do they know?
Yeah.
You know what I mean. Come on.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. All of a sudden, there's all the business in the world happening in Sabi. Yeah. Private flights to Sabi. It's the best Wi-Fi in the country.
It's amazing, right?
Yeah, I'm as shocked as Cyril.
Yeah.
And let's also look at this list and answer, there must be a lot of business going down to the Kruger, right? Because the Kruger Mpumalanga International Airport is opening. The Richards Bay and Pietermaritzburg airports are also opening. Tons of business there. But understandably, somewhere like Port Elizabeth, Upington, and Brumfish airports, I think that's in Bloemfontein, if I'm
not mistaken. Brumfish is Bloem.
Yeah, will also be open from the 1st of July. So, yeah, things are getting back to normal.
All right. Okay, very exciting. Let's see the economy start opening up. I did see some disturbing reports that the Gauteng Premier is thinking about maybe, or the Gauteng MEC for Health, rather, is thinking about maybe going back into lockdown. Now, I hate to break it to these guys, but that ain't going to happen. There's just no way that that's going to work.
And it might be ridiculous that I'm actually holding them to their word, but they're the same people who said, you know, now it's in your hands. The only reason we had lockdown was to prepare for it adequately. We've done that.
Right.
We can't take all of the responsibility. Now it's in your hands. They can't, you know, I just feel like some people might be feeling a little power hungry, like they've had a tiny taste of blood and now they want more.
Yes, you don't say. It's I like, wonder who those people are.
Like, actually, behave. Otherwise, we'll take, you know, your alcohol away. Or behave, know your place. Otherwise, we'll put you back.
And it's all about control. And some people in government absolutely love the fact that they've got some control now. And they're not going to let that go easily. So lockdown gives them all the reasons to behave as they wish and for us to just have to comply. And if you think that that's a good way to live, you're welcome to it. I am not up for that. I'm sorry.
That's why I did really enjoy seeing the visuals from Minister Mbalula going to chat to taxi drivers yesterday.
Taxi drivers just took no shit.
There were points where Mbalula was standing in the crowd and trying to speak, and they were just speaking over him.
They don't care, yeah.
No, not at all. No. He was pandering, and it just wasn't working. Mm-mm. Then he thought,
things like, oh, you know, I'm one of you. I used to use taxis. Everybody's like, yeah.
Sure, as you have now arrived with a fleet of like four cars, let's just calm it down there, Minister. And then he thought he was done speaking and he was trying to get back into the car and thought he was leaving and the crowd wasn't moving away. Like, no, we still have some things that we'd like to know, some unanswered things here. So the people are, you know, people are having their way.
Good.
Isn't it so sad?
It took the taxi business for government to realize that they aren't actually in control.
Yeah. It's so sad when people yearn to be the people's champion, like it's something you can fabricate, you know, like it's like if the people haven't chosen you, there is nothing you can do to be their champion. And Fix doesn't get that.
He, you know, he, Muhammad he just, Ali, he just wants to be loved. Hey,
he does. Oh, Umdwanabant, shame. Muhammad Ali has a great saying, is greatness is not hiding yourself from the people. It's having the people embrace you. That is to say...
I love that. Say it again.
Greatness is not hiding yourself from the people.
Mm-hmm.
It is having the people embrace you. And what he was saying was, and he was talking in this context about Floyd Mayweather in particular, just before he passed, to say, you can't walk around with bodyguards and put on the show because the people don't care how rich you are.
No.
If you're real, just because people are poor doesn't mean they're dumb. If you are great, they will see it.
Yes.
And they will love you more than ever. In fact, poor people who see somebody poor go to the top but keeps it real, love that person more than anything on
Absolutely.
Earth. Absolutely. And for Fix and these guys, they don't get that. Uti, Chief, there's no lying to the people.
No.
And
I wish that more politicians would come to that realization. They'd be a lot happier and they'd be trying less hard. They'd embarrass themselves less in public.
Touché.
Ridiculous.
So are you saying I shouldn't order my throne and wagon?
No, Sia, your throne and wagon are not a good idea. It's not a good combo. Okay. It won't be a good look for you.
Okay, all right.
All right, I want to talk about something new that we're doing here. During lockdown, we have not been resting on our laurels. We've not been sitting on our hands. CliffCentral.com, as I said to you during the course of lockdown, we've been thinking very hard about what we need to do. And with all of these new startups in this time and SMEs that are battling for survival, I think we need probably to put our heads together and come up with great ways of doing marketing, advertising, content. And to help us do this, we've actually partnered with Tim Kelly. He's got his own business called Synergist Marketing, and we've decided to put together something called Cliff Central Creative. And I thought it would probably be a good idea to have Tim on the show this morning to explain how exactly that's going to work, because there may be many of us who've started businesses, or we had businesses just before lockdown, that are having to look at things differently now. I thought it would be a good idea to have Tim on so he could explain things to you. He's got his own interesting history, which we may get into by the end of the interview. But I want to talk a little bit about Cliff Central Creative, which is something brand new that we're expanding into. And I think something which could be very helpful to a number of businesses in the country. So, Tim, how are you?
Morning, Gareth. Very well, thanks.
Good stuff. Let's just get into some of the nitty-gritty here. There are a lot of businesses that are battling for survival at the moment, as I mentioned a moment ago. Sure. And a lot of them are making terrible mistakes because they think, well, we can handle this. We don't need an ad agency. And ad agencies have been their own worst enemy in some ways. Your background is that you were for a long time the MD of TBWA in Cape Town.
Sure.
And you've been running your own business since then. And you've done some really cool stuff, which we'll get into later. But a lot of these businesses don't know how to market themselves anymore. And they're making some terrible mistakes. And they're falling for some really bad ideas just because they sound cheap and effective and are the first and not the last.
No, that's right, Gareth. The news coming out of all the new business starting on the one side is very exciting, but then for a marketer like me also terrifies me slightly because, as you said, people sort of launch themselves into this without necessarily the right background, and marketing is an absolutely crucial component of making the business a success. You know, I think the data says about 80% of businesses fail in the first 2 years.
Right.
And what's been interesting over the years to see is that although all businesses are unique in their own way, you can distill those reasons that they fail into kind of, you know, four or five main reasons that you just see repeating themselves over and over again.
So what are those big mistakes that you're seeing, and how do you think we can help close the gap?
Okay. I mean, look, let's start with people that decide to launch a business and they sit down and they decide over the dining room table what they're going to do, what service, what product they're going to take to market. Let's start there. Mm-hmm. And often they get, the bright lights of fads. So whether it be fidget spinners or, in today's world, good old face masks. I mean, how many friends have you had sending you WhatsApp pictures of face masks saying, we're now selling face masks? And that would be the first thing, is to kind of avoid the fads. Look for something that has long-term potential growth.
Right.
There's a fantastic tool out there called trends.google.com. And you can look on there for any search term all the way back to when Google started in 2004, and you can see how many people are searching it. You want to get on there and you want to search for something that has had either a very consistent number amount of search or has got even better, you know, growth and is looking like it's on an upward trend. Last night I jumped on and looked up face masks just because I find it, you know, funny. And it peaked on the 29th of March with some exponential number of searches. And since then, it's been very much an upside down V. So it shot up and it shot back. People have got their face masks or they're just over the whole thing or whatever it might be. Don't go into face masks. Find something with a bit, you know, more longer term growth. Still in that zone of choosing the right product, it's choose something you're passionate about. It's a lot easier, and you'll understand this. It's a lot easier and a lot more fun to do a business that you are passionate about yourself.
Yeah.
And if you're passionate about it, chances are other people are passionate about it, and therefore they'll spend some of their hard-earned income on it. So that's the first thing, is rather than necessarily look at it from a business point of view, do something you're passionate about. And then there's a case of getting the balance right between a niche product or service and a mass product or service. So when you go into these sort of things, the number of competitors and the number of potential customers are directly correlated. So if you go into a very niche product or service, there's very few competitors, which is a great thing, but there's also a lot fewer potential customers. And whereas if you want to go into something mass, you want to produce a new range of baked beans, everyone needs baked beans, you've got 45 million people who might buy you baked beans, but in reality, there's some pretty serious competitors in that land. So it's trying to find the right balance there between those two things. And then sort of lastly, just in this topic, and in terms of choosing what you're going to do in your business, is, this might sound sort of a little bit sort of controversial, but be wary of the big ideas that aim to change human behavior. So we've seen some incredible things like that in recent times. Airbnb changed how we book accommodation.
Right.
Uber changed how we book taxis. Mr. Delivery and so forth. These are amazing. You know, PayPal, how we pay online. They are incredible pieces of technology that changed human behavior and made their founders billionaires. Right. And we all have that dream. And I think it's great if we all nurture that dream in the background. But if your objective, particularly in this time, is to start a business that will earn you income in a relatively short space of time, then rather find something that is a proof of concept out there that someone's doing and they're earning money from, and do it better than they are. That would be a good start. And have your big, ambitious ideas sort of running in the background, because that's going to take a lot of time. It's going to take a lot of probably other people's investment to make that to come to fruition. So they would be kind of my guidelines in terms of deciding what to do in terms of new business.
All right. Well, if what I want to talk about is also this idea of DIY marketing, because now everybody seems to have accepted the fact that the world of marketing has changed. The world of advertising has changed. We had a really interesting webinar not so long ago with Reg Lascaris and with Timothy Maurice. And we spoke about this, how content is taking over and people are using technology more, but some people use it better than others.
Yeah. I've always said, the worst thing about marketing, and Umbulelo will appreciate this analogy, is I say it suffers from a sports coach syndrome. What that is the sports lovers amongst us sit on the couch and we watch an awful lot of sports. And we spend a lot of time yelling at the TV, telling the coach who to pick, what tactics to play, what substitutions to make, because kind of we know better, you know? And then the Twitter comes out with the starting 15 or the starting 11. You're like, oh, why is he in? And, you know, you're absolutely convinced. And I do. I go to bed at night thinking, you know what? If Arteta hadn't got that job, I would have done a fantastic job at Arsenal. There's no doubt. I know football because I watch a lot of football. But the reality is, if you were thrust into that position and you had to start working on the intricacies of set piece plays and nutrition and fitness and sports psychology, I think we would all be left wanting. And that's why there are certain guys in those positions.
Yeah.
Now, the reason I draw that analogy is because the average person sees about 1,000 marketing messages a day, believe it or not, from logos on your toothpaste to billboards to TV ads to whatever it might be. Now, you know, when you see that many, you start to build the perception that you know what's going on. You know how marketing works. I see it all every day.
Yeah.
And you appreciate this, is that I'm sure a lot of people listen to this and think, well, it's Gareth and his iPhone. Yeah. You know, that's it. He's recording his iPhone and jobs are good. When actually, in podcasting, there's sound equipment, there's producers, there's a whole team of people and hosts behind it that make it the quality that you produce. Pardon me. In video and photography, you know, there's lighting, sound, producers, hair, makeup. Just in creating ads, you had Reg Ascaris on recently, my former boss, and he talked about creating ads that are sincere and funny.
Right.
You know, equally, great design, layout, the ability to say a lot in a short number of words. Very, very smart people have dedicated their lives to trying to perfect this art of producing fantastic content. Mm-hmm. To kind of bumble across it from one day in your admin job to now deciding you're a marketer, I find a little naive. And, you know, we can have a whole nother podcast on building your own websites and the mistakes that get made there. So, yeah, that's my concern with DIY marketing. And, you know, it's still prevalent. We see it everywhere. The long and the short is, you know, save yourself time, save yourself the money, and hire an expert to produce the stuff, because there is so much noise out there now that to produce something that actually cuts through all of that,
yeah,
and actually resonates with someone and actually makes them get off their bum and go to a store or click online or spend the hard-earned cash is incredibly difficult to do. And even us professional marketers are finding it incredibly difficult to do.
Well, everybody's fighting extra hard for that share of ear or share of eye or whatever. Absolutely. It might be, right? So, okay, what are we going to do differently with Cliff Central Creative? Because this is where I wanted everybody who listens to us, because they're obviously the people who get it first and foremost. They've walked this journey with us. But because we have now a whole supplemental set of skills that we're going to bring on board, we will be able to do essentially a comprehensive advertising marketing solution for any business, small businesses in particular. To help them figure out social media, to help them figure out websites, to help them figure out how to put together a good content plan.
Yeah. So that's how I'm going to get to the main uptake from this in a sec. But the lead up to it is the misunderstanding around different media platforms, all of those things you just spoke about, and what they can do and they can't do, and their pros and their cons, and they all have those. You know, you take, for example, television, incredibly engaging platform. We all choose to watch television.
Right.
And if you see brilliant content on there, you enjoy it. And equally ads that are produced as content. You know, there have been some incredible ads over the years, very engaging, but it's incredibly expensive. Mm. Radio is incredible reach. You can reach millions of people, as you know, but the engagement's very low. It's become background noise on the school run, you know. The world that we're in with podcasting, what a wonderfully engaged audience. Everyone is listening, and therefore they're going to take on the message really, really well. But it's still niche and it's still growing. You know, if you use Google search, people have intent. They're searching for that thing you're going to show them. So they have great intent, but there's no visuals on Google search. So it's hard to inspire people. If you use paid social media, and talking about organic social media is not another thing, but paid social media, it's really targeted, which is great. But again, it's a little square on your cell phone. It's very hard to inspire people. And then there's even like email marketing, which is, it's free to do, which is super. But the spam folders are getting smarter and smarter, and it's harder and harder to get through those.
Absolutely.
The key outtake here is they all have a role to play. They all have a value. And the secret to growing that brand is to communicate one message, one single-minded proposition across multiple platforms at the same time for a sustained period of time. And if you can find, not just us, if you can find experts to help you put together that integrated campaign and have the patience and the confidence to let it run for a little while, I can almost guarantee you will see your business grow. But clearly, to use each of those platforms, you need experts to help you do that. And so, yeah, that's kind of the main outtake, is to help people find a single-minded proposition, communicate it beautifully and brilliantly across multiple platforms, and to help them plan to be able to do it over a sustained period of time.
Well, it sounds really good. What are the main ways we can then start implementing this for people? And do you need lots of money?
Well, you need some money. Let's put it that way. I mean, it's another mistake that a lot of businesses make is they get all excited about their idea and they put 100% of their cash, their savings into the starting up, but whether it's buying product, manufacturing product, buying a van and putting the name on it, or my favorite is spending money and time producing business cards, the most pointless thing in the world. But people love spending money on these sort of setup things, uh-huh. and they leave themselves nothing to promote the business. And they do that because they assume that hype will grow the business, when here's the reality, unless you're selling a new iPhone or the Kanye sneakers, probably no one really cares. So have the view that no one will care about your business. And if they do, then it's an upside. Word of mouth. You know, I don't know, when did you last recommend a brand new business to a friend of yours? It does happen, but not often.
Yeah.
And then even if you do, what are the chances your friend then goes and acts on that and buys something? Pretty slim. So word of mouth is a thing. It can help, but it's a very slow burn. And then, as I said, you know, one of my favorite topics, social media, organic content that you hear. Before 2012, content produced by business profiles on social media would reach about 25% of the audience that they had built. Okay.
Yeah.
And businesses build themselves on that for free. I mean, I don't think Facebook gets enough credit as a, you know, as an incubator for all of these businesses. They produced this free platform that you could put content out. People saw it and they bought your product. No marketing cost. Fantastic. Yeah. Back in 2012. Do you want to have a guess what that percentage is now?
You have to pay for it now, so it's tiny.
Well, absolutely. So about 0.5% of the posts, your free posts that you put out, actually reach your existing audience and no new audience. And that's just because there is an overload of content on social media now, and there's less active users. And as you said, they're prioritizing paid content. So you have to do paid content. So the long and the short of this is people go into these businesses, they have no money in the bank for promotion, and they expect all of these free things to give them a free lunch. And it just isn't there anymore. You can't do it that way. So you've got to have reserved some. And kind of the key number that I say to businesses, large, small, that come to me is, tell me what your aim is for turnover in a month. You have to spend 10% of that to achieve it. Now, over time,
right,
hopefully that will come down and everything. But ultimately, if you want to be doing R1 million a month, you know, you've got to spend R100,000 in your marketing. You've got to do it. Little anecdote, there was a furniture brand that opened in Cape Town last year. Beautiful. They spent R20 million on their store and buying the product. So not a small operation.
Sure.
And a really beautiful product, had some great guys running it. And they opened the doors and it was all very quiet. And because no one knew the brand or anything about it. And they called me and they said, listen, we want to be doing R5 million a month turnover off the bat. I thought, whoa. You know, okay, we can probably get there, but then you need to be spending R500,000 a month on your marketing, you know, that's your media spend and producing the content and all of this. And of course, they just balked at that, and I think they scraped together R50,000, and sure enough, they did about R500,000 a month sales. So the key number is every business has got an idea in its head as to what it wants to do for turnover per month. You need to spend 10% of that to achieve that number. Hmm.
Now, let's just talk about a couple of the opportunities. Export business.
Mm. Look, firstly, I have to say, I'm cautious of anyone that thinks that there have been opportunities created by this cluster mess that is COVID-19 and the government reaction to it and the fallout of that. But
yeah, me too.
We have to look for opportunities because a lot of people are in a situation where they need to find some sort of positive or opportunity from this, particularly if they have jobs and stuff. So you're exactly right. Exporting clearly you have to invest some time thinking about that because the exchange rate is massively in your favor. Wouldn't we all love to be earning, you know, US dollars or British pounds?
Sure.
SA actually has a very low cost, high quality manufacturing sector, which is fantastic. Mm-hmm. So you want to tap into that, particularly in textiles and that sort of stuff. So it's a great sector there, which you can export high quality items, you know, much better than China and everything. You know, we need to become the new China in terms of exporting, because the quality of our products is so much better than them. And then also, you know, if you can set up a small export business, I think it's going to be a tough decade ahead for South Africa internally, running business internally.
Yes.
So it kind of moves there. I think the US and the UK are going to bounce back quite quickly, whereas for us, it's going to be a much longer burn to try and get back to where we were. So that's the opportunity with export. A couple of others. Should I do a couple of others?
Go on.
Okay. The work from home idea is an interesting one, because it's created needs on two sides. It's created needs for employers who are trying to transition to a work from home workforce. And I don't think that's going anywhere anytime soon. Maybe not all the staff, but certainly a good portion of them. They're trying to transition, which creates a number of challenges for employers. And I don't necessarily know what they are, but everyone can sit down and have a thought as to what they are and how they can solve that problem for the employer, but also for the employee.
Yeah.
You know, there must be ways to help employees work more effectively at home, especially juggling kids and pets and all sorts. I mean, funny one, but I've spent a lot of this time working from my dining room table because it looks out over my garden and it's, you know, very cathartic. But my dining room chair is not built for sitting on for 8 hours a day, I've discovered.
Hell no. You know, you're going to end up with back problems.
Exactly. And I certainly don't want to put office chairs around my dining room table. So I don't know, maybe someone can invent a really smart ergonomic dining room chair that is going to work. But that's an issue. So I think the work from home has some opportunities on both sides. And then finally, Gareth, you know, something that might surprise a few people, but there's massive opportunity in retail space at the moment. So, you know, malls are not going anywhere. How we navigate through malls and what we use them for may change, but they're not going anywhere anytime soon. Now, there's a lot of distressed inventory. I think retail will come back, but it will come back much smaller than it is now. Even those big superstores will shrink in size. There's going to be a lot of distressed inventory out there that you can get quite cheap. Malls, great about malls is that is your marketing, because you have 10,000 people walking past your store every week, you know?
Correct.
So that kind of does marketing for you, because you've got the other brand and the mall themselves that brought those people in. So there's an interesting opportunity there for some e-commerce business, established e-commerce business, to maybe venture into that mall space. And I say that because, okay, before COVID, but Amazon did a brilliant job opening those stores in the US. And, you know, even locally, like Yuppie Chef, great little brand, started off. They now have stores in malls as well as online.
Right.
And the future is absolutely omnichannel. People will still want to touch and feel. You know, there's still taste and smell that you can't achieve online. So the future is definitely omnichannel, not just e-commerce. You need to have a presence in both. So I think there's an opportunity there for, you know, to look at that retail space and reimagine how it's going to be used. And there's an opportunity there for businesses.
Love it. Okay, so far we've got plenty to get excited about, and I think if you are interested, you can get hold of us. Just email tim@cliffcentral.com, or you can email me, gareth@cliffcentral.com, and we'll start putting our heads together to try and help you figure out the way forward in marketing. It sounds damn fine. Thank you, Tim. Just quickly, you were on British reality TV some years ago, because people might recognize your voice. No. We got to talk about this. It's the elephant in the room. So Tim was very famous in Britain for a very long time. He might still be in some places, infamous in others. You were on that famous Big Brother with Jade.
I thought we'd agreed that this wasn't going to be mentioned.
Come on, I got to mention it. If people think it, will think it's really interesting. So go ahead. Come on. I mean, we all want to know what this is like.
God, I really didn't know you were going to ask this. Yes, I was on the third season, What to Say, and it was with the late, wonderful Jade and some other people I'm still in touch with, and it was a very interesting experience. Look, it recently got voted the best series of Big Brother of all time, which is quite cool.
Well.
That's beautiful.
Put that on your LinkedIn profile, Tim.
I totally... And I think, look, if I look back, I think we were the last year that we were kind of genuinely real people kind of living it out in a house together and not too concerned about the cameras. We were just kind of living the social experiment, and that's what people found interesting. I think since then, obviously, reality TV's morphed into this very different animal of people finding a short route to fame. And I don't think any of us were really on it for that. And that's what kind of made it voyeuristic and fascinating. And similarly, and because I came out and my life had changed slightly, that's part of the reason I live in South Africa, because I love marketing and advertising. That's the career I wanted to build. I didn't want to be a Z-list celebrity getting paid to open school fates the rest of my life.
Well, I'm very glad that we've got this going now. This is much more exciting. Having had my own experience in reality TV, I totally understand. All right, very good. So listen, if you need some help, then get hold of us, Tim or Gareth at cliffcentral.com, and we will start to think of ways that we can help you to market your business better and to do things in a 21st century way with all the digital stuff and, as Tim says, an omni-channel approach where you don't leave any stone unturned. You've got to do a lot of things, and you're expected to do a lot of things, and sometimes you can't because marketing is a specialized field. So when you need to call on people who do this as a profession, then Tim's probably your best bet here.
Look, all of this information is also available on our new website, cliffcentralcreative.com.
Thank you very much for remembering the website, Sia.
Yeah. Plus, Tim doesn't mind suffering. He will do whatever it takes. He's an Arsenal fan. His life's been murder. It's been murder.
All right.
We're talking about Big Brother. Let's talk about the glory days of the Invincibles.
Ah, that was before color TV, Tim.
All right, very good. Shucks. So lots to think about this morning. And thank you very much, Tim. We'll speak to you later.
Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
Good stuff. Tim Kelly. All right. So that's what you need to do is go along to cliffcentralcreative.com to find out more. That's one word.
Yep.
Cliffcentralcreative.com. If you can't spell it, you probably shouldn't use us.
Is that the bottom line?
Well, you know.
Sure. Right. Everybody's welcome.
Everybody's welcome except the people who can't spell. All right, very good. That's all we got time for this morning, everybody.
Oh, wow.
Good
people don't want.
Okay.
All right, very nice. Have a happy day, and make sure you stay tuned to cliffcentral.com. Bunch of brilliant podcasts on there. If you haven't gone through our catalog, it may be worth your while to go and take a look. And we'll see you tomorrow, bright and early at 6 o'clock.
Cliffcentral.com.